This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Unrest in China over zero COVID. From Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishore in for David Brancaccio. Hundreds of people in Shanghai held protests over the weekend, largely against the country's zero COVID policy. Similar protests, mostly peaceful, spread across other big cities and at least a dozen universities. Jennifer Pack is Marketplace's China correspondent and has been covering the protests from Shanghai. She joins us now. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi, Sabri.
So what does the protest site in Shanghai look like today?
Well, officials have set up these blue plastic dividers on both sides of the street, so they've blocked the storefronts. And there's heavy police presence in the area, and also reports of people being detained still, sometimes just for standing around.
The spark for these protests seems to have been an apartment fire in the western city of Urumqi in Xinjiang, where 10 people died. Now, how did that become a widespread protest over COVID?
Well, that place had been locked down for over 100 days, and a lot of people who had gone through the Shanghai lockdown and in other major cities know that a lot of times officials erected these barriers around the buildings. And so there's a suspicion that it's these COVID restrictions and others like it that made these fire trucks unable to reach the apartment. Local officials have denied this, but then the protests got wider in scope, as this man who was trying to get into the protest site told me.
They were chanting anti-government, anti-communist slogans. So that's why it is now more than just an anti-COVID policy.
So he didn't give his name for fear of official retaliation, because censorship is very heavy here in China. So heavy, in fact, that a lot of people here in the country still don't know what happened over the weekend.
All right. Marketplace's Jennifer Pack in Shanghai. Thank you so much. Checking markets, Dow, S&P and NASDAQ futures are all down in the 5 to 8 tenths% range, with the Dow future down 180 points.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdal. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
For this month's Econ Extra Credit film, we are watching The Workers' Cup. It's a film about the workers who built the infrastructure for the 2022 Qatar World Cup. That project cost Qatar an estimated $200 billion, with no real way to make up the cost. That is the challenge with hosting big events like this, a challenge Los Angeles will soon face as it prepares to host the 2028 Summer Olympics. LA has hosted the Games twice before. The last time was in 1984. And it turned out to be one of the only profitable Olympics in history. The city made more than $200 million. Can it do it again? City officials and organizers certainly think so. Marketplace's David Brancaccio spoke with LA's outgoing mayor, Eric Garcetti, who oversaw the city's bid to host the Games.
Qatar spent a fortune getting ready for the World Cup. They made their own decisions. We'll see if their cost-benefit analysis, as they see it, works out in the end. But tell me about your city, Los Angeles 2028. The Olympics are coming back. You won't be mayor, but what is it, your hope that they won't lose money like some other cities have?
Well, I think people and leaders in most cities are right to be skeptical of these large sporting events that can cost a lot of money, leave behind a lot of white elephants. But Los Angeles has always been different. In 1984, we changed the model. Peter Ueberroth, legendary head of those Olympics, brought in sponsorships, helped revive the Olympic movement, and we finished with a $215 million surplus. And I have that same confidence in 2028 because Los Angeles is already a built-out sports town. We're not building an Olympic village for the athletes. We're using dorms at University of California, Los Angeles, UCLA. So we really tried to change the model again to say, look, you need to make sure that the games fitting inside the city's needs and infrastructure rather than the city trying to fit into the game's needs and the game's demands of new infrastructure.
They didn't lean on you too hard to build more and fancier stuff for 2028?
No, I think the Olympic movement understands that it's tougher and tougher to find willing cities. Here in Los Angeles, we already have the nation's best velodrome. We've got tennis courts. We've got multiple arenas that we play basketball and volleyball and other sports in all the time. We're going to look at existing facilities even outside the city so that we can put the game's money into a legacy. And in fact, we negotiated ahead of time, first time ever in the Olympics, $160 million years before the games start from the Olympic Committee, so that we're spending that right now on youth sports access. And in 28, I think you're going to see an Olympic movement that realizes it should be more humble, it should be more accepting of existing infrastructure, and that it should really listen to cities' needs above their own, and then see how the Olympics can fit into that, not vice versa.
So there's the not losing money. There's the direct benefit of things you've negotiated in advance. There's also this mushy stuff, but mushy in a good way. It's often referred to on balance sheets as goodwill. I mean, you do expect something out of it that maybe you can't quite quantify?
Absolutely. We want to ignite kind of the best of what the Olympic spirit is. I mean, one of the reasons I love it so much is when I was a kid in 1984, I was 13 years old. And I saw the world come to my city. It really brings a civic spirit together within a city, but it also unites the world. And to me, that's really exciting. And to me, it's left behind a legacy from 1984 that's lasted till today. It's one of the reasons, you know, 80% plus of Angelenos are supportive of the Olympics when around the world, those numbers probably are much lower.
I know. And having spent many years in your city, it's not like the traffic can be made much worse. So maybe that's not on people's minds as it might be in other places.
Well, I joke probably the other 20% embrace the games because they remember in 1984, it was the least traffic we ever had. So they're saying, look, I'll support the games if you promise me in 6 years, I'll have at least a couple weeks I can drive through this town without traffic.
The mayor of Los Angeles, Eric Garcetti, thank you very much.
Great to be with you, David.
That was Marketplace's David Brancaccio there. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.